Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. Glad to be back in the studio. Oh, the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Got Mario joining me. As much as it hurt not to do a show last week, I was glad I got the opportunity that I got, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. A lot of things going on in the sporting world. I'm glad we're finally starting to get to a place where things are happening and not such a slow time in the sporting world. We'll go ahead and get Mario here in the studio. Mario, how are you? How have you been? And what are you up to?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be back in the Carolina Sports Plus studio talking sports. You know, on this good Wednesday, currently at Disney World in Orlando, so, you know, things are going well, you know, a little
what?
Getaway trip, yeah, we've been here since Monday, but we're in here, and you can like us on social media at Carolina Sports Plus, and you can follow us on YouTube, also on Carolina Sports Plus. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We got a lot of good things going on. We'll be doing a little fair run sitting here soon, but things are going good. Glad to be talking sports on this Wednesday night for a while.
All right. Didn't know that you was in Florida in Disney World. So we're going to keep this on the shorter side. We'll keep this to the hour this week then, so you can get back to spending time with the family and everything. Last week, I got the opportunity to do something that I've never got to do, and I've gotten to do a lot of things in the sporting world. If I never got to do anything else sports-related, I could die a happy man knowing that I got to have a pretty fulfilling sports life, especially ever since doing the 110 Nation stuff. And Wednesday was another one of those things where I got to kind of check off a box off the list of things I would like to get to do in my lifetime. And I got to go to UD and check out a couple of the play-in tournament games. So I got to actually do some tournament games. It was different. We saw Montana State. I want to say it was Colorado that they played. No, it wasn't Colorado. It was Montana State, and I forget who the other team. Oh, Grambling State. And it was actually an overtime game. It was a really good game, back and forth, close game. And then the second game was Boise State and Colorado. It came down to about the last minute or so before Colorado ended up taking off with that game. But it was different because we had no dog in the fight. And usually when I go to any kind of sporting event period, I at least have a dog in the fight. Even doing media for like NASCAR, I still have a favorite driver. I think the only time that I didn't have a dog in the fight was when I got to go to Bristol Motor Speedway when Virginia Tech and Tennessee played each other in the middle of the racetrack. But that was just a whole different experience. Like, it was just crazy. But any other game that I go to, I have a dog in the fight. So to be there in these play-in tournament games and watch the Grambling State fans, which that's who were mainly sitting around, get all into the game, and then you watch the Montana State fans on the other side. Then you got the rest of the UD arena that doesn't really care either way. We're all just cheering for a good game. And so it doesn't really matter what happens. As long as it's a good move or something, you know, like very athletic, the rest of UD goes kind of crazy and is cheering on. But then when it's back and forth, you just watch these two different fan bases that you know you don't know who to pull for. You don't know everybody's backstory to every, you know, obviously to every team out there. So it was different to kind of sit back and watch two different fan bases and kind of just enjoy the game and not really have a dog in the fight. So, but it was it made Thursday a rough day because we didn't even know we was going to go. Mm-hmm. I know last year my boss, she got to go as part of being a district manager, and they took all the district managers out, the regional manager did, to the UD games. So I got a text message Wednesday morning, and I'm like, she's like, do either one of y'all keep up? Because she was texting one other manager in the group. She's like, yeah, do either one of y'all keep up with the college basketball? And I was like, you know, I keep up with somewhat, not as much as I would like to. Then I was going to text her again and be like, you know, because my boss keeps me at work all the time, so I really don't have time to watch basketball. But I didn't know what kind of mood she was in, so I left it go and kind of went back to my business. And then, you know, kind of find out that she'd went to the games the previous night due to our Coke rep. And he's actually not even our rep. He actually moved to Louisville, but he personally buys 4 tickets every year and gives two people an opportunity to go to the games every year to watch the games with them. And so she went the night before, and they decided that they weren't going the next day. And so she kind of passed the tickets down. And that's when I contacted you last Wednesday. Found out late that afternoon, but got to check that off the bucket list. It was a good experience. It was rough Thursday because I didn't get home till those games went, because the overtime game pushed the second game back. So it was almost like midnight before we got out of there, and I'd be back up at 3:30 in the morning. So did you have any, since the last show, did you have any more media?
No, I go when I go back next week. I got Friday and Saturday, the Hurricanes. Friday and Saturday.
So that's good. And when's the festival start?
Mid-April. I'll be going. I go to Texas on the 10th through the 14th, and I'll be at, matter of fact, that show right there, I'll be at a Texas Rangers game, a Texas Oakland A's versus the Texas Rangers. I think that's the 10th.
That's not the first Texas game you've gone to. Have you gone to other Texas games as well?
No, I just went to the Texas Parade. This is actually going to be my first Texas game. I'm going to the Texas game that Wednesday versus the A's, and then I'm going to the Dallas Mavericks game that Friday night, their last home game.
Gotcha.
You know, doing a little traveling.
I know, I'm trying not to let my jealousy come out. Some of these games you get to go to, I'm like, damn, man, it sounds like that would be a great experience.
Oh, it's fun.
I bet.
sad
because
you know, not trying to cut you off, boss, right? that's how the 104.5 man felt. And got himself fired. Man, there was a whole bunch of stuff, man. He was emailing the Carolina Hurricanes like 2 o'clock in the morning, telling them that I don't have nothing to do with 104.5. Yeah, man. It was crazy since the last time we talked. Yeah, man. Crazy.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing I said.
What, are you just getting jealous of everything you was doing?
Yeah.
I guess that's what led this whole conversation for that. No, I'm not that kind of jealous. Like, I mean, I'm very excited to get to do all these things, but part of it's like, damn, man, I wish I could. And I was just saying to think about myself, it's not like, you know, I just paid off. As a matter of fact, I made my last payment of, you know, we do the Dayton Dragons, the high class A of the Reds, and we do at least 11 games a year. And, we're getting ready to go on that. I'm just sitting there, I don't know, I get to do so much sports stuff. And it's crazy because unless you sit there and think about it, because a lot of the stuff you do in routine, like, okay, this is the third year we've done the we've split a half season. And so I don't even really think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom even told me, she's like, yeah, this is the last payment because we do it's all on a payment plan. And my mom was like, yeah, Marissa made her last payment. She got her tickets already. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to come before the end of the week. She goes, just wait till Sunday when you come see me because I'm going over there for Easter. And I was like, are we really on the last payment? Like, this is all routine, so I don't sit there and really think about the fact that, you know, I go to at least 11 baseball games a year, but I guess it's more of the whole something I've never done thought, like just going to the Texas Rangers Stadium. Like, that just got to be, you know, the parade. At first, when we first had the discussion, I told you, I was like, damn, man, I'm kind of jealous. I think I even said that then. But after the whole Kansas City one, I don't know if I would like to believe I would go to a Browns one, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know
how comfortable after that, you know, because I mean, Cleveland's not the nicest of neighborhoods and everything else. And I mean, I don't know if I would do a Dayton one as well, or even a Cincinnati one, and in some areas of Columbus as well. So I don't know on that so much, but I mean, it's crazy how much sporting stuff we actually get to do, and I mean, how much our lives are, you know, I don't know, it's insane. I don't know, it's just crazy, though, because, like I said, it's so repetitive. I don't think about everything that I do. I don't think about the fact, the wife even forgot we even went to one of the UD men's games we went to. She kept talking about, man, I wish the UD was playing. We ain't gone to a game together, you know, men's game together. And then we kept thinking, we knew we was there last year. We knew we rode the bus. We had to go park in a separate parking spot or parking lot. We rode the bus. We could not for the life of us. I was like, it had to be a men's game. I think it was a men's game that UD dominated. So it wasn't that great of a game to watch. Like, it was somebody we just beat the snot out of. The first men's game I went to, I'll never forget, because UD lost that game in the last seconds. Virginia Commonwealth did a layup as time was running out. I'll never forget where I was at and in that game and everything else. That was a crazy game. But I think some of the stuff, we've been doing this so long, and it's so repetitive part of our life. Like, I don't think about the fact that I go, it's usually one Browns game a year, and 11 at least baseball games a year, and, you know, at least one race a year. So I think it's the shininess of something I ain't got it done is what I was more focused on, more so than the actual doing it. Because you sit there thinking about it, it's like, God, I actually do a lot.
Yeah.
You been able to keep up with the tournament at all this year?
Yeah. I've been watching it every Thursday through Sunday, you know what I mean, the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I've been keeping up with it. I've been watching it.
You know what? How I feel that the NIL and this whole transfer portal has ruined football, because I just think it just ruined the college football. I think it's helped basketball. we don't have the days anymore where you just have basically Duke or UNC or Kentucky and maybe one of the teams just dominate. Now you have so many different teams that are so good, and these brackets, the brackets that nobody's ever been perfect with, even when you had pretty much the same dominant teams all the time, I don't think we'll ever see a perfect bracket now because of how good all these colleges are now because of the transfer and the NIL deals. I wish football could figure it out because I just think the transfer and the insanity with it is it's hurting its quality, but it's really helped especially these smaller colleges or colleges that I'm not going to say were small. They would make the tournament, but that would be it. Now they're not just making the tournaments. They're a serious threat of being in the Final Four or coming down the championship game versus just making the tournament. I like what this has done for college basketball.
Yeah, I do too.
Any teams that stick out to you, that is any schools that have stuck out to you, and how's UNC done?
Oh, yeah, UNC's done good. They're in the Sweet 16. They take on Clemson tomorrow night, a late game, too, at 9:30. So we'll be playing UNC, be playing Alabama. They'll be playing Alabama tomorrow night. But they're doing good, you know what I mean? You know, especially with these tournaments, you know what I mean? It's kind of like if somebody gets hot, they can keep going. So hopefully Carolina can do something tomorrow against Clemson, but it's definitely interesting. You know, you got Gonzaga. You know, they've been to a lot of Sweet 16s over the years. But, you know, I think the matchup is if Carolina can beat Clemson and Arizona can get through their opponent, you know what I mean, it'd be kind of like the Caleb Love versus the Carolina Tar Heels because he was with us last year. But it's good. During this time right here, it's always college basketball time with March Madness and all the fun and excitement that it brings because you never know what's going to happen or who's going to get there. You can tell by NC State, you know what I mean, for example. You know, they lost four games. Yeah, they lost four games coming into the ACC tournament. They wasn't even going to get a bid. And then, you know, winning the ACC tournament and now, you know, in the Sweet 16, you know, so they do have a story to tell, but – college basketball is entertaining during this time.
Do you think NC State's got anything for Marquette, or anything, or even if they get through them, Duke or Houston?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Just you know, with their guard play, you know, with Horn, even though he's a freshman, he's putting up big numbers. But it all comes down to the big men they got down there with Burns. And the one that comes off the bench, you know, they got three or four big guys, you know, in rotation. But Burns, he's definitely putting his mark on the tournament and ACC tournament. But I think they can do something with Marquette.
Looks like NC State's the lowest ranked one left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy if NC State ends up, because it's not one of those. When you think North Carolina, you just think of Duke or UNC. And I know NC State did it once. Back in the '80s, if I'm not mistaken, was around when they did it. But I don't know. Just one of the even working there, because you know, I spent about 5 years bouncing in Chapel Hill. I helped do Brooklyn and Durham, and I did a few different things over there. It's either you talk to Duke or you talk to Tar Heels, and even though NC State and Raleigh was no further away in this whole triangle thing, you didn't really talk about it. Like, they just never was really – in the conversation. And so every time you see, especially an outsider, someone that is not from that area, sees Izzy State and possibly doing something, it's just crazy because unless you're there and know NC State's even there, this is, it's not a conversation that usually gets brought up. Anybody, I'm not going to say is an underdog. That's not NC State. Everybody else is top five. But anybody, well, Clemson's six, but any of your lower seed teams, do you see any of them surprising and being in there for the championship game outside of your top dogs?
Even though I'm a Tar Heel fan, but as far as NC State, they are making a big story. You know what I mean? I'm gonna keep riding on that train just because I think they can beat Marquette, and then they can definitely beat Duke because they beat them already. So that's gonna be something to think about if they can get by them. But I'm definitely on the NC State train, and then you know how they looked at the ACC being weak in basketball, but they have four teams in the Sweet 16. You know what I mean? So that's something to think about. You know, Clemson versus Arizona. I don't think Clemson can get by Arizona, but if they did, that would be a huge upset. So, am I gonna be rooting for Clemson to beat Arizona? I'm gonna say yes, just because I know Arizona is a bigger threat than Clemson to us, just because you know the big man that Arizona got with the Caleb Love story, and I just wouldn't wanna lose to Arizona, even though I think we still have an opportunity to beat Arizona. I just don't want it to come down to that and then lose. You get what I'm saying? So I'm definitely going to be cheering on Clemson when they play Arizona. Of course, UNC versus Alabama. And I'm going to go ahead and go State versus Marquette. But as far as Duke versus Houston, I'm definitely going Houston versus Duke. They made it far enough.
Just 1 year. I wish just 1 year I would have something or somebody really to, like, cheer on. I know you're not one to cheer on Duke, but there's three North Carolina teams right there. Like, you still have a dog in the fight, and even, say, UNC loses, not saying you're going to jump, but some people do jump. Okay, I wanted another North Carolina team to win. Like, I don't have, and it's very rare, we get somebody that deep in the run, you know, the Ohio State or Cincinnati or Dayton, or, like, it's been a hot minute since you get down to the Final Fours or even the Elite Eights and still even have a dog in the fight. Like, every once in a while when Wright State even makes the show, like, it's just a thing. Like, at least, you know, we got another Ohio team in there. I got in this discussion with the old dude that I got the tickets from. We were talking about when COVID happened, and, you know, they had – a lot of people had Dayton going in the Final Four to the Final Four, and some people would have them favored, and I'm just – even living here, I wasn't sold. My issue was you play like the Atlantic 10 or whatever the conference is called. I don't care if you run the table, go undefeated. If you're not playing ACC teams and SEC teams and even some of the Big Ten teams, you're not. You're not legit to me. And no disrespect to any teams out west, but those are the more of the college teams that I've either watched or been around working in Chapel Hill and everything else. And, you know, regardless if I hate him or not, I hold, you know, UNC and Duke and, you know, Florida with their championships and, you know, some of these SEC teams, and Purdue's been usually a good team for the Big Ten, and Michigan has their years. I hold them a certain respect because I know they're legit programs that consistently, you know, win their conferences or win, you know, are threats into the whole tournament. And you have someone like Dayton who, you played nobody all year. I don't care if you go undefeated. If you play nobody, I guarantee that that 30 and something run would not be the same if you played the in the ACC or played ACC teams. And no, I'm not saying play Boston College or something. I'm saying, I'm talking about legit, you know, Duke or UNC or, you know, NC State or Clemson or something. So I don't agree, but it'd be nice to have a legitimate team with a legitimate run just to have. I think that's an issue at Ohio. I don't think we care as much about this whole tournament. It was much more of a big deal living in North Carolina for all those years because there was so many teams legitimate could shots of winning it and go deep into these tournaments. I don't get that here. Football season, we're all in. You know, Ohio State is the bomb for us. But when it comes to basketball, like, if Ohio State has a team that, you know, surprises us and has a good run, we start to get excited about it. But, I mean, yes, in the area I live in, they're excited about UD because, yes, UD usually does good in their conference and is ranked. But I cringe when they go in the tournament. They beat Nevada, but then as soon as you play Arizona, you lose. Like, you ain't played nobody all year. Your quality opponents is very low compared to some of these other teams. So, I don't know. It would just be nice to have a dog in the fight late in the tournament every once in a while or more more often than not instead of never having. I don't know. This weekend, we got spring football. You have any thoughts, intentions, or desires to watch in spring football?
You know, I'm going to say not right now. Of course, with football starting up, you know, it definitely gets the buzz back. You know, I'm not going to skip over baseball. I'm not going to skip over baseball because I'm going to say a big baseball fan, but I do get down with baseball. But spring football is good, you know. One thing about bigger colleges, you know, you got a lot of players. Of course, the bigger schools, you always want to know who's leading the starting quarterback room, you know, the top running back. But as far as football in North Carolina, you know, one thing about these Tar Heels, they get starting fast, and then they lose, and then they have setbacks, and then they blame it on the defense. But you know, where you're at in Ohio State, I already know up there is big. So, but yeah, I'm excited for spring football. You think they're going to adapt the rules? You think they're going to adapt the rules with the like NFL coming soon, you know, with the new kickoff rule and tackling and all that type of stuff?
I think that there will be some differences. I think they will use the UFL to test different things for safety or even for the quality of the game. I think we'll see some rules that are different just for them to try. Since now this is all kind of a farming system, per se, for the NFL, as we've done seeing players from the XFL and USFL go on to the NFL. Now with this whole combining the two leagues, this is more of a direct kind of farming system for the NFL. And so I think we'll see some things, especially with kickoffs and just different things. I think we'll see that it's kind of going to be tested through the UFL to see if it works or not. And we'll, if they do and it's a good impact on the game or helps improve the safety of the game, I think the NFL will adapt those things. I'm excited about it. I know that I was big when they brought back the XFL last time, not this time and not the original. I think that, honestly, if COVID wouldn't happen and shut everything down, I think that league would have thrived. Every week it got bigger ratings. The stands were getting fuller. People were loving what was out there. And then, of course, COVID happened, shut all that down for, what, a year and a half before they finally came back. And the USFL just never, to me, got the following. I think more the following, especially because the first go-around of the XFL was geared toward the XFL. I like the fact that basically we went from 16 diluted teams to now 8 more high-quality player teams since now both leagues are together. So I think the quality of football should be even better. So I'm very curious, am I going to be a diehard and watch all 4 games every weekend? Probably not. I think that's the only thing good about right now is it's slow enough, like I can catch the race on Sunday, which I sent you a message earlier. Make sure you get your pick in for the Race Chat Live 110 pick you missed last week. But make sure you get your pick in. But I could catch a race and not miss really anything. It gets hectic when football's on. You got college football, you got races, you got NFL. You still have some basketball going on. So it's great this time of year where I'm not missing a lot and it's easier to keep up with things. But I will have them DVR'd and I will. I at least like to give it a week or two of trying to catch a game or two or at least catch a whole game and the parts of a couple other games just to see if it's something I can see myself getting drawn into. Some of it, like I tried with USFL and there were some of the XFL games I just couldn't get into. But I'm hoping that it'll be one of those things where the quality of players will be better. We'll get to see some things different that they'll be testing. And it'll give us something going on this time of year that we don't traditionally have going on. Yes, trying to balance that with baseball is going to be a whole thing. Now, are you a type, when you said you're a baseball guy, are you a type that you can sit there and watch baseball games at the house?
Yeah, on a good day. It all depends who's playing, but yeah, I do. Me and my wife are getting into it,
see,
too, yeah, but we yeah.
See, it's crazy to me. And when I tell the story, I say it like a lot of NASCAR fans. There's a lot of NASCAR fans that can't stand to watch a race, but they'll go to a race. I'm the same way in baseball. Like, I have no interest to sit here on a Saturday afternoon and watch baseball for 3 hours. I just don't. Now, I pay for at least 11 games a year, and one of my goals is financially be to a place where I could have the entire home season tickets paid for and let my family just have the games I don't go to, so I can go to any game I want to go to. I will go to a game all day long. I used to go to the Fayetteville Swamp Dogs back when I stayed in North Carolina. I would have went to a Durham game or whatever, but I didn't travel much that way. We were going to go to one of the Woodpeckers. What's the favorite Woodpeckers? We were before I moved, because that was that stadium and all that was newer. I think it was only open for a season or two before I moved back. The day we was going to go, ended up being a bad storm. Me and a couple guys, we all were about halfway there before they canceled the game. So I'll go to a baseball game all day long. I will go, and I'd love to be able to pay for half a season and go to as much to the 66 baseball games that the Dayton Dragons play right here in Dayton. But I have really no desire to watch a baseball game on TV. I don't know why. I just don't.
Yeah, a lot of people can't. A lot of people say that, so I totally understand.
There's a lot of people with racing like that. They'll go to a race and they'll sit and they'll go to every race, but they have no desire to sit there watching on TV, go in circles, and you know, I'm not going to say that I don't usually catch me a mini nap somewhere in a race when I sit here and watch a race. I'm not going to say I don't 9 times out of 10 I do, but you know. I am looking forward to some spring football to see what this brings. And I think the other cool thing is to be able to see some of the talent before it comes to talent. Knowing when we was watching some of these XFL and US or USFL games, we were watching future. That was like me watching De La Cruz for the Reds, like watching him play for the Dayton Dragons. Like, I was watching this dude, like, before he became a big deal, before. So we get to see some of these stars, even though they're on TV, before they become a big deal in the NFL. It's even cooler when you get to go to these smaller, you know, local games, like for you, the Durham Bulls or the you guys even have the Swamp Dogs, which Swamp Dogs is even different because it's high school. Kids are just getting out of high school, but before they start playing college, they have a little coastal league that's what those players are. So they basically keep playing so they don't get rusty in between their high school and their college. But it's cool to see players in those lower leagues, like before they become a big deal, to be able to sit there and be like, you know, I watched him, you know, 15 times. And, you know, I knew, like, you could watch De La Cruz playing even for Dayton. Like, you knew he was going to be a big deal. Like, he was, you know, doing his thing for the Dragons. And, you know, you just sort of think, you know, why? It looks like those people make a big deal about something that, like, you knew. I know we had some NFL signings and stuff go on since the last time we had a show together. Anything from Carolina that you liked, didn't like, that they signed?
I mean, we just signed Clowney today. So I guess he's coming back home. You know, that's been the talk of the day for today for Carolina as far as signing him. But, you know, with a rookie head coach and trying to just fill in players, you know what I mean, with no first-round draft picks, it just see what happens, I guess, you know. Do I see something productive coming out of Carolina as far as, like, something strong going for a division title or something? I doubt it. You know what I mean? With Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, but who knows? You know how football goes sometimes, but it's just refreshing to see how the season's going to go. Cause I know last year got caught up in, you know, it wasn't about how many games we were going to win. It was, you know, it came down to how many games do you think Carolina will be losing, you know? We'll see, but there's no big complaints because they did build around, you know, with Young. They did sign two guards, you know, a wide receiver, swing tackle, and they did their work with the defensive line. They got safeties, they got corners. So not saying they're not doing anything. They are building a football team. They did, you know, fill in some holes that we desperately needed, especially on our offensive line.
We signed Jameis Winston. I have never been a fan of Winston. Even back in Florida State, they made a big deal about his national title. He played in the ACC, where I have a lot of respect for ACC in basketball. I have zero respect when it comes to ACC in football. Their total opponents combined record was 81-81. Like, they basically did the bare minimum, got into the playoff or into the national title game. I think it was before we had the playoff system, and won a national title. I think they played, it was somebody, I think it was overrated. It might have even been the Auburn team, if I'm not mistaken, that should have been there because of the kick or something. I forget who they played. But anyway, I've never been a Winston fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not excited at all that we have a quarterback that at this point we're stuck with no matter what. Like, not that we weren't stuck with them the last couple of years, but like now, no matter what, because you deferred most of that contract to the back end. So like now the next two or three years, we pay a ridiculous amount of money. Like we're stuck where we're at. The only way you could have got out of it is if you could have got somehow Flacco on like the cheapest of the cheap contracts for the next so many years, and basically you just got rid of Deshaun and you swallowed that money. It was basically the only way that you could have. But anyway. Now we're counting on Watson to do something he ain't done in the three or four seasons at this point and actually be a good quarterback. Like, He was great, then he sat out of Houston, then he was suspended for 11 games, then he was out of shape, and then he comes back this season, doesn't really play all that great, and then gets hurt and out the rest of the season. So, we got a lot of hope and, I don't know, a lot of... I guess I don't know, hope's the only word I can come up with, that we're going to see the same Deshaun Watson from 4 years ago. If not, like, you paid Winston, who's not been but about an average quarterback his entire career, NFL career. He's never been able to hold on to his starting job anywhere. And this is your backup plan. Now, with the whole Flacco thing, as much as I wanted Flacco to come back, as much as I would rather Flacco be my backup quarterback versus Jameis Winston, I understand the reason why it was not a thing. We all know the first time that Deshaun Watson has a bad game or even makes a... It might have to be a multiple interception game. It might only be a single interception game. But as soon as it happens, fans would just be cheering Flacco's name. It would be a whole thing. Like, there was no way around it. At this point, Winston might have been your best choice at backups that were worse than Deshaun Watson to keep you out of the quarterback controversy is about the best way I could put it. And it is very aggravating as a Browns fan knowing that really we're about one piece away. No, I don't think at 39 years old, would have been 40, if we would have made the playoffs again, Flacco would have taken us all the way. I don't think that there is that much gas in the tank for Flacco. As great as he looked, people tend to forget that it was only like a 5-game sample size. He had the rest of the season to relax and not use any energy. I don't think that people take into consideration how much time is put in before the season, preseason, the entire season. Now you're talking about at that age, I don't think that there was any way possible that Flacco would have made it the entire season and made it through Super Bowl and not been it would have been too much. There's just no way. Like, Brady's like the only quarterback that has ever done it, and that's because Brady pays like a lot of money, and he's on a very strict regimental diet and everything. Like, he is invested into his health, his body, his everything. And still those last few years took a toll on Tom Brady. I just don't see it. And Flacco took a lot more of a beating in Baltimore and in New York especially. Then, I mean, Brady took lesser contracts to help improve his offensive line. Like, he didn't get beat up that often. No, I don't think Flacco. I think as a backup quarterback, yes. But I think that it was time to go in a different direction. I don't know if there was any direction out there. But I don't know. I feel we're one piece away, and I think it's the quarterback position. I don't think Watson's the answer. I think Watson 4 years ago might have been the answer. I don't think Watson of today, of last year, or the year before was the answer. I think now Cleveland, on the verge of making a serious playoff splash, is now stuck because of this ridiculous contract and all these draft picks they gave up on a quarterback that was not that high in demand. Like, I to this day still don't understand why draft and money-wise we gave up so much because there was not that big of a demand for a player that hadn't played in the season and still had to go through all his legal stuff. Like, we didn't know before we gave all that up that we were losing him for 11 games and everything else. Like, there's no way you can ever tell me that there was that much of a demand and want for Deshaun Watson with everything going on and him sitting out that season. Like, there's no way. Now, as a Browns fan, you're sitting here knowing that ultimately that contract now could ultimately keep you from finally winning a Super Bowl, going to a Super Bowl, or at least being an AFC championship game that you ain't done since the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. Like, he will never be that player from 4 years ago. Like, physically, he will never go back to that. And we're stuck. You're stuck with either journeyman quarterbacks like Winston, and you had Brissett, Flacco. That's what you're stuck on to get you through, or possibly you could even start and make Watson your backup. But until you're done with this contract, I think we still have 3 years on. We're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
What could possibly be finally a Super Bowl or a Super Bowl win with the team we got now, the players you've re-signed, is all for nothing at this point, because unless Deshaun Watson all of a sudden becomes that quarterback of 4 years ago, by the time you're out of this contract and actually can spend money on another quarterback, it's all going to be gone. The only piece that is an uncertain going into this season is Nick Chubb. And that is more of a mental thing. I think by the time the season begins physically, we will know already. I think mentally, I couldn't imagine. Like, I am no athlete, no running back by any stretch of the imagination. About a month ago, I possibly ripped the muscle off my bone. Like, my whole everything was black and blue. Like, it was horrible. And to this day, It is still bruised. Like, I have to do a lot of things left-handed. I can barely do anything with my right arm. And if I hold my arm down, like, there's this whole area of loose skin that should not, it's not loose on the other arm. It shouldn't be loose where everything ripped. And So for the rest of my life, I know mentally now, like, it's going to be a thought. Like, when I go to pick up anything, do anything, it's a whole thought process.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine what it's going to be like for Nick Chubb at this point. Like, someone we knew as that running back that just ran through over everybody and carried half a team with him down the field. To what? Like, that is the only variable going into this season. I think that's why they added a few running back pieces just in case. Quarterback position, we're screwed. Like, at best, journeyman, until we're done with this contract now.
Yeah.
But all those Browns fans that were upset because of the whole Flacco thing, I get it. Because I don't think we make it two games in the season. I don't know if we make it two quarters into the season. And you're going to have disgruntled Browns fans. One of can be. We've seen that in the last game of the season where they were throwing chairs and everything else. Like, we know what Browns fans can do. I don't know if he makes it two quarters in the season and throws an interception or a couple interceptions or just has a bad first couple drives or whatever, and they want Flacco winner. Like, I can see it. Like, I understand it. I get it. So I don't want what's going to be a 40-year-old, you know, being in my, you know, early, mid-40s. Well, not say early, mid-40s, but mid-40s. I know the differences in my body. I know where I was in my mid-30s, where I was at versus my 40s. I know Father Time is undefeated. So I know that Flacco's days and games are numbered. So no, I didn't want him or expect him to be the face of my franchise either. I honestly think because of this contract, we're just in a real bad spot with a team that could do it all. And it's crazy. I was watching First Things First before the show, and they only have Cleveland winning 8.5 games. They have them winning one more game than the Steelers. They actually have the Ravens and the Bengals once again over the Browns. I don't see it that way. I last year I had the Browns winning it. We didn't. We took second. I don't think we win it again this year. I don't think the Ravens win at all. I don't think they go to the championship game, but I think the Ravens take the North again. I think them adding Derrick Henry will hurt the other teams. I don't think it'll change much Cleveland. I think we'll split them 1-1. We have one of, if not the best defense, so I think that home field will take the advantage of that one. It will do a split. Now, I think the other teams, I think we may split more than I want with them. I think the Ravens, I think there's a good chance they sweep both the other two teams. I think there's a good chance that the Ravens could go 4-0. We might go 3-1 or 2-2 against the other two teams. I don't know. But I was kind of surprised and kind of taken back that they only project 8.5. I forget who it was. They were just pulling up what they pulled up. It wasn't their over and under. That's just what they pulled up that was out already. I was kind of taken back that you're only going to give the Cleveland Browns 8.5 wins. Like, everything we overcame last year, third string quarterbacks that was sitting on the couch, no Nick Chubb, like, and we still won more than that and went to the playoffs. Like, you're not giving us more than 8.5 wins this year? Like, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then again, they only gave the Steelers 7.5 wins. I know one of the guys on them took the Steelers over because the fact that Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. So your quarterback issue got better. Not that either one of them are the best quarterbacks in the world, but they're both, either one that start, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, is still a step up from what you had. Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, and you're telling me they're projected to only win 7.5 games, so to have a losing season.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised about that as well. But anyway, we're coming up on 8 o'clock. Like I said, I didn't know you was even out of the state. So glad you joined us and glad we got to sit here and talk sports for an hour. Feels good to be back in the studio. Feels good to be doing this again. So try to get back in the swing of regularly doing this, except for when we got stuff going on like this. Anything you want to put out before we get wrapped up? Where you're going to be? Where they can find you? Anything you want to throw out there?
Oh yeah, you can catch us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at Caroline Sports Plus. Also on YouTube, we also We got a lot of good things going on. Talk about a lot of good topics. Of course, you can check us out on Wednesdays. Next Wednesday, talking about sports with you. We'll be hitting the festival scene. We'll be stopping in Lumberton April 19th and 20th at the Food Truck Rodeo, and April 27th we'll be at the Dogwood Festival in Fayetteville and Mebane. So that's going to be an adventure on its own. But if you could, just give us a follow and like us and see what we got going on.
Don't forget to make sure you guys check out Race Chat Live every Tuesday night, 8:30 Eastern Time, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. I know Safety to Success will be coming back, I want to say, early next month. That is more of a local track show. He has a bunch of great guests on there as well. Don't forget, you guys can catch us on iHeart, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, you name it. Really, we are everywhere. You guys can check out the site, www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. All the links to all the different platforms, we are on there as well, the different shows, videos, blogs, all that kind of stuff. Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Make sure you guys check out our YouTube channel, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Also on Instagram, the_110_Nation. I'm looking forward to being back here next week. Sit down, talk some more sports with you, Mario. You enjoy the rest of your time in the Sunshine State. You enjoy the family, and I'll catch up with you later.
All right.